In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, August 3rd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Black Lives Matter. This popular protest mantra is now taking on new meaning. Ohio State Senator Bill Pattman, an African-American Democrat from Cleveland, is gaining national attention by the way he's using it. At a state house pro-life rally, crowds cheered when he said, quote, "You hear a lot of demonstrations across the country now about Black Lives Matter." Well, they skipped one place. They should be in front of Planned Parenthood, unquote. Pattman said 17 million of the 56 million unborn babies who have been killed have been African-American. And 63% of the abortions in his district were of black children, while the population is only 30% black. Ohio anti-abortion activist Mark Wolf was one of many who shared Pattman's speech on his Facebook page. The World View spoke to Wolf as he gathered with dozens of other pro-lifers to protest abortion at the downtown Columbus, Ohio abortion mill. Church members sang and tried to hand out sunflowers in front of the abortion mill. One local pastor, who adopted a 6-year-old African-American boy, told women about the alarming statistics. "Please," said the pastor, "don't hurt your baby. My son was on his way to a place like this when someone pleaded with his mother. God says we must warn them. When I say to the wicked, 'You wicked person, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin. And I will hold you accountable for their blood." Ezekiel 33:8. The hunt for Minnesota dentist Walter Palmer, who killed Zimbabwe's Cecil the Lion and has been on the lam for a few days, has come to an end. Palmer spoke to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service investigators, assuring them he had no idea the lion was protected and trusted his guides. The lion, a popular tourist attraction at a nearby park, was killed in a night hunt, so its GPS collar could not be seen. Meanwhile, more than 200,000 people have signed a petition for the White House to extradite Palmer. If sent back to Africa, Palmer could face a $20,000 fine and 10 years in prison. For now, Christian colleges and universities will not be stripped of their tax-exempt status if they refuse to accommodate homosexual couples on their campuses. For now. IRS Commissioner John Koskinen told members of the Judiciary Oversight Committee, as long as he stays in his position, he will commit to making sure the IRS does not punish religious schools. This should be little comfort, though. House Republicans, part of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, are calling on President Obama to oust Koskinen for obstructing their investigation into the tax agency's targeting of conservative groups. In Colorado, a public high school has expelled the Cowboy Church from using its facilities. The church, in Crossroads, has been meeting at Florence High School for 3.5 years. According to Pastor Randy Pfaff, attendance at all its functions, which included a daily lunch Bible study called Jesus Pizza, have been voluntary. Complaints filed against them by a Jewish teacher are false. The World View spoke to Pastor Pfaff.
There is no doubt religious rights that have been violated here because of that Bible and what we stand for. If it was any other club, nobody'd be saying a word. I've said this a lot. As for me and my house and our church, we'll serve the Lord regardless what it may look like to man. We will serve the Lord.
The confessed Charleston, South Carolina church killer, Dylan Roof, pled not guilty Friday to 33 federal charges filed against him for killing the 9 churchgoers. His attorney said he wanted to plead guilty, but would not do so until prosecutors say whether or not they'll be seeking the death penalty. How ironic! Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." A prior Montana mom, dad, and daughter were shot Friday when they stopped to help a young man with car trouble. Tana and Jason Shane Jr. were killed in the shooting. The 18-year-old shooter, Jesus Denise Mendoza, said he gunned down the family because the daughter, whom he shot in the back as she ran away, laughed at him and he had grown tired waiting around for help. Three members of the Osama bin Laden family on vacation in Britain were killed Saturday when their luxury private jet went off a runway, hit a group of cars, and exploded into a ball of flames. The former Al-Qaeda leader's stepmother, sister, and brother-in-law were among the dead. His family had disowned him in 1994, 7 years before 9/11. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And that's the worldview on this Monday, August 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado with a biblical way of looking at everything, including Cecil the Lion. Let's talk about Cecil the Lion. Here's about Cecil the Lion.
Yeah.
He's on every newscast now.
Yeah.
I think he's got the big picture on CNN.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the big one. You know, you go to CNN.com and you see the big story of the day. Cecil the Lion makes the big story of the day.
Yeah, $50,000 or something.
He was
like
a $50,000 lion. Yeah, he's a prize lion. Evidently, he was lured off of a preserve of some sort, and he was shot. And now some American is he's being looked for. I don't know if he's being prosecuted yet for the crime, quote-unquote, of killing Cecil. But, boy, it's a big deal right now. Animal rights activists are all up in arms over this gun.
Yeah. He was like 30 years old or something like that?
No, he's only 13 years old.
13, okay.
Yeah, he's only 13 years
30,
old.
30, 13.
He's pretty much in his prime. He was a good-looking lion.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful animal.
Very famous.
Yeah, created by God. Obviously, as we look at a lion like this, our children, we ought to be on our knees praising God for his beauty, for his creation, for the magnificence of this beast that God has made. But of course, that wasn't what CNN was all about this morning when I was watching the newscast. didn't hear a lot about praising God on CNN this morning.
Yeah.
However, we do so on the Worldview in 5 minutes every day.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Looking at the news from a biblical perspective.
We do. We try to bring it into a Christian metaphysic, a Christian world and life view. And we encourage people not to watch Fox News or CNN very much, but go more towards a Christian way of looking at the news. And that's why we do this for 30 to 40 million Christians in America. We're hoping that more and more will avail themselves to a Christian newscast that takes a Christian perspective on the news instead of a naturalistic, materialistic view of the news. And of course, the significant story is always a matter of worldview. What winds up on the front page of the newspaper or CNN.com is always a matter of worldview. And that's why we have persecuted saints up front. Of course, most of the newscasts won't do that. We put up front the things that are important to the Word of God, to a Christian way of looking at things. We do not put Cecil at the very beginning of the newscast. We might include him towards the end of the newscast, but certainly not at the beginning of the newscast. Now, let's talk a little bit about Cecil for a moment. The real goal here is conservation. The real goal here is not just conservation, it's proper dominion. Let me read from Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, which I would include
lions.
The fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea, including, say, those whales. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I love the fact that the psalm comes back to giving God the glory for his creation. I just love that psalm. Psalm 8. This is not shared. This anthropology is not shared by CNN. It's not shared by the animal rights activists. Worldviews are important. Number one, they do not glorify God. They worship the creature rather than the creator. That's number one. They don't worship the creator. If you don't hear the praise of God on CNN.com or on your Save the Baby Whales or the Baby Lions.com, it's because it's the wrong religion. You're on the wrong religious site. You're worshiping in the wrong temple. So keep that in mind, that these organizations, these news organizations, are religious. And that's why, of course, we try to present a Christian newscast, because we're tired of worshiping in the wrong temples, FoxNews.com or CNN.com. Okay, so what does a Christian do to take proper dominion? The answer, of course, is property ownership. The Bible assumes property ownership. The Bible assumes that man takes responsibility by way of property ownership. So,
yeah, but if you're saying that you own then the property and you own the lions, and you know if
that's
you
right.
own if you own the lions, then you're just going to go out and kill them or whatever, aren't you?
No, you're going to preserve those lions.
So,
if those
so
lions belong to you, then you're going to preserve those lions, and you're going to see that not only are the lions that exist preserved, but they are conserved from generation to generation, especially if it becomes a family business.
So you're not going to allow any, you'll just bring them on there and then not let anybody hunt them because you got people who are wanting to hunt.
No, that's not what you do.
So then you're going to let them all die. You're
right.
going to kill them all.
No, you don't do that either. It's called wise dominion, Steve.
Okay.
You want to take wise dominion and, you know, talk to a farmer. You ever talk to a farmer or a rancher? You ever take to somebody who has worked with animals like cows or elk? People who raise elk, up in Wyoming and South Dakota.
Red elk. Good.
Yeah, it's good meat.
Yes, it is.
Really good meat. Oh, wait a minute. You just said, yeah, it's good. Why did you say that?
Because it's tasty.
See, animal rights activists do not appreciate the fact that we are killing plants and killing chickens and eating them. Okay, everybody needs to understand that. Animal rights activists do not want us taking dominion of these things. So here's, Steve, what I've done, and I've mentioned this a couple times on the program before because I'm a huge believer in private preserves. I decided to start a business this morning of raising lions.
Wow.
And so I went online and said, okay, if I was going to do that today, what would I do? I'd need 28,000 acres. And sure enough, there was 28,000 acres that appeared on a real estate site in Zambia. You know where Zambia is? In Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Africa is a place where there are still a fair number of rhinos, lions, et cetera, giraffes. So I found this 28,000 acres, decided to buy it for $1 million, $1 million US. That's not bad, huh?
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's 40 square miles.
That's huge.
40 square miles for $1 million. So I said, I'm going to buy $1 million, and I'm going to go out and buy 5 females and 5 males, lions, and you can buy them. They're actually, if they buy them as cubs, they're pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Like $2,500. Anyway, you start that, you do 12 years of breeding, and in 12 years of breeding, a single female will yield about 24 cubs. And multiply that times your 5 females, and you get 120 cubs in 12 years.
That's too many for that area.
5 females, that puts together about 130 lions. And that's just rough numbers. I mean, obviously, you could get a few more lions. You'd sell off 10 lions a year for $50,000 a piece. Cecil went for $50,000.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you don't go for $50,000 for every one. Maybe sometimes it's $25,000. But whatever the case, you're running about $500,000 to $800,000 a year on this $1 million piece of property. That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
After about 12 years, you've done about $6 million in business. You're managing the lion population, and you're doing better than socialist governments could ever do. Why? Because governments in Africa discourage the free market, and they only encourage poaching. They encourage the black market. They encourage corruption. Hello, we're talking about banana republics. Hello, we're talking about nations where governments are inherently corrupt. Not as if our government's not corrupt. I talk about corruption. We can talk about the 100 million ways in which a government that controls 50% of the gross national income is corrupt. But, okay, if you say we're going to count on African governments to preserve lions for the next 40 years, you know what's going to happen to the lion population?
They're going to be gone.
Zero.
Yeah.
Guaranteed zero. Okay? If you're an animal rights activist and you believe in these government systems, you are guaranteeing the elimination of lions in Africa and black rhinos and all the others. Now, you know, $6 million in business to run this thing, you could hire people to monitor your 10 lions or your 15 lions or your 20 lions on your 40 square miles. And with GPS, it's easy now. GPS, it's cheap. Throw a GPS on every lion. It's cheap, guys. And you have a little map in your basement. You know, with your little lights, and you say, oh, it looks like Cecil's moving a little further to the west. He'll be there within the next 4 to 5 hours. We better send somebody over there to ward him off. Bring him back.
And how much do those people over there, you know, the African population, what's their average?
What do they work for?
Yeah.
I don't know what they work for, but my guess is a $6 million business could probably handle 5 or 6 employees. Okay.
Yeah.
Done. Problem solved. Exactly what the socialists don't want, because the socialists and environmentalists are all about the destruction of the environment. They're all about the destruction of humanity. And they're about destroying God's creation. Why? Because they ignore the laws of God, especially the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, which is God's commandment, assuring property ownership. You say, well, God meant something by his word? God's that smart? Yeah. Yep. I think so. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, bringing out a sane, rational perspective on the world. Why? Because we draw it from God, who is even smarter than Karl Marx and the socialists that put together the modern world.
Well, Karl Marx knows the truth now.
Yeah, he does. However, I would recommend to people my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. To any of you who think, wow, this is radical stuff, actually setting the Bible against Karl Marx, who in the world would want to do that? I would. And I would encourage you to get Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to understand the differences between a socialist world and life view and a Christian world and life view. It's night and day. It's rationality versus complete irrationality. Okay, here's another example of this. This is Florida. Some guy, a landscaper, Jason Falbo. This guy is riding his lawnmower. He's doing his little thing, mowing the grass, some yard somewhere. This guy, he's 24 years of age. He mows down a family of ducks. That's not a particularly nice thing to do.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it was sad. Apparently, there was a kid watching. It was traumatic. And, you know, there have been traumatic moments in our house as well. Remember when the dogs got to the chickens?
Yeah.
There were tears. There were tears in this household when the dogs got to the chickens. And after a while, we realized we couldn't raise chickens and huskies on the same farm. Okay.
There's no symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. There. It'd be sort of like, you know, raising lions and lambs on the same property. Okay. Probably not going to work out so well. Okay. Yeah. So if you're doing ranching, if you're doing farming, you got to figure out some of those things. But this guy gets a year in jail mowing down a couple of ducks.
It seems a little excessive.
Oh, man. Apparently 9 ducklings died. And no doubt this is a criminal act. And I'm gonna refer to Exodus 21 in just a moment. Because the injustice, though, of putting a guy in prison for a year. And remember, friends, you put a guy in a prison for a year, he's away from his family, incapable of making a living, he forfeits $30,000 a year, and meantime, the judge charges the taxpayers $50,000 to put this guy up for a year. Okay, does that make sense?
So that's an $80,000.
$80,000 price tag.
Yeah.
An $80,000 price tag for 8 lousy ducks.
So $10,000 a duck.
Hello? Exodus 21:33, God's law. A little more rationality? Hello? A little more rationality? Can God speak for a moment on this one? The wisdom of God is amazing. Amazing. If a man shall open a pit, now it's not a lawnmower, this is a pit. If a man digs a pit, it doesn't cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls into the pit, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money to the owner of them, the dead beast shall be his. Now, okay, so this is just biblical common sense. Guy runs over 9 ducks. I just checked it out online. Mallard ducklings run $6 a piece. Okay? 6 times 9, do the math.
$54.
Good job.
So I
hello.
You could have even gone
$54, and he takes the ducklings, the dead ducks, home with him.
Yeah, I could have even gone $100, you know, for that, just for pain and suffering. You know, add another $46.
You don't execute a man for killing a duck. You know, there's animal rights activists. There are Christian animal rights activists listening to the program right now. I'm sure I'm going to get some kind of an email from somebody out there, completely irrational, unwilling to listen to God, completely unwilling to submit to the justice that God has given, the wisdom God has given, the general equity of the laws of God presented in the Old Testament. And they're going to say, I think we had to execute the guy for running over the eight ducklings. Why wouldn't you? Why would that be unjust?
Because it's...
I back over yeah. eight ducks, you know, or a couple of raccoons
mm-hmm.
across the road. They weren't even crossing the road. They were running alongside the road a couple of nights ago, and Bethany and I were returning home from Castle Rock. And if I hit those raccoons, and an animal rights activist was right there on the scene, prosecuted, pushed it hard, and pulled off my execution, here's the question. Would that be a just thing or an unjust thing? Would that be a tyranny? Would that be, in the courtroom of God, unjust?
Very unjust.
Yeah. Why? On what basis? On the basis of Exodus 21, 33, and 34. Hello? Hello? The problem, of course, is that these guys worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And I think that's the larger issue here, Steve.
Yeah.
They ignore the laws of God completely. Now, personally, I think that anybody who is working in the pet business, anybody who has a pet, owns a pet, is going to be prosecuted badly if some accident happens and their pet dies.
Yeah,
I think that's going to happen. I think the animal rights activists have complete control. This nation is so irrational today that some government bureaucracy is going to find you $188,000 for backing over a duck in your driveway. You know that's going to... Yeah. Hey, charge this guy $80,000
yeah.
for eight ducks. That's a lot of money. Okay, so here I'm telling you, be careful. And by the way, this is one more reason why we want to preserve the family economy and we want to preserve your freedoms. We believe that freedom is worthwhile fighting for, and that's why the Freedom Conference. And we're going to continue to push this conference all the way to November 6th and 7th. If freedoms are important to you and you don't want to be arrested for the slightest problem, for your family economy, for what you do in your church, for what you do with your homeschool, for what you do with your kids in terms of medical care. If you don't like tyranny and you don't want Big Brother to arrest you and throw you into a gulag for not wiping your duck's nose, then, friends, come to the Freedom Conference and learn something about freedom and the legacy of freedom, for which many people have fought and died over the last 800 years. And by the way, I have a book coming out on freedom in about a month. And that is hopefully going to be at the conference as well. Freedom2015.org, if you want to be part of the Freedom Conference in November, just before the caucuses in Iowa. It's a very strategic moment for this very important conference on freedom because our freedoms are being undermined. Well, we only have a minute or two left. And here's an interesting father-daughter talk that I thought I would share with you. I'm big on father-child relationships and father-child discipleship and so forth. And that's what's happening here. This young woman, she's raised in a red state and she's sent to a blue state college. Okay. It's what 99% of homeschoolers do. Maybe not 99%, but 99% of most red state families will send their kids to blue state colleges, usually community college or state colleges or private college, but almost without exception, they send their kids to blue state colleges. So they'll thoroughly and be indoctrinated in every worthless piece of socialism that you could possibly imagine. So this woman comes
definitely
home.
Definitely my goal for my daughter, yeah.
Yeah. A young woman who was about to finish her first year of college, she comes home. She's ashamed of her father, who listens to Rush Limbaugh or whatever. He's a staunch conservative. And she has expressed her dislike for her father. And so she comes home and she challenges her father on his opposition to higher taxes for the rich and the need for more Marxism. And he responds just by simply asking her a question. How are you doing in school? How's school? taken back, she answers rather haughtily that she had a 4.0 GPA. She, in other words, she's getting the lessons down straight.
Right on.
She's sitting at the feet of Marxist lecturers, and she's getting it down straight. And she let him know that it was very tough to maintain the 4.0, insisting that she was taking a very difficult course load and was constantly studying, which left her no time to go out and party like the other people she knew. Father listened and then asked, how's your friend Audrey doing? She replied, well, Audrey is barely getting by. All she takes are easy classes. She never studies. She barely gets a 2.0 GPA. She's so popular on campus. College for her is a blast. She's always invited to the parties. Her father asked his daughter, then why don't you go to the dean's office and ask him to deduct 1.0 off your GPA, give it to your friend who only has a 2.0. That way you will both have a 3.0 GPA, and certainly that would be fair, an equal distribution of the GPA in the college.
Makes sense.
The daughter, of course, is visibly shocked by her father's suggestion. That's a crazy idea. That wouldn't be fair. I've worked very hard for my grades. I've invested a lot of time and a lot of hard work. Audrey has done next to nothing towards her degree. She played while I worked my tail off. Her father slowly smiled, winked, and said gently, welcome to the conservative side of the fence. Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
If a conservative doesn't like guns, he doesn't buy one. If a liberal doesn't like guns, he wants all guns outlawed. If a conservative is a vegetarian, he doesn't eat meat. If a liberal is a vegetarian, he wants all meat products banned for everybody. If a conservative doesn't like a talk show host, he switches channels. Liberals demand that those they don't like be shut down. If a conservative is a non-believer, he doesn't go to church. If a liberal non-believer wants any mention of God and Jesus, silenced. If a conservative decides he needs health care, he goes about shopping for it, or he may choose a job that provides it. Liberal demands that the rest of us pay for his. If a conservative reads this, he'll forward it to his friends. A liberal will delete it because he's offended. That's the difference between conservative and liberal. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I had a patient of mine say, you know, I don't know what the big deal is over this whole abortion thing. If you don't like abortion, don't get one. And I said, yeah, like, back 150 years ago, would you have said, if you don't like slavery, don't own one?
Yeah, slightly different when it comes to abortion.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're dealing with the life of another person.
Yeah.
And that's something that the Word of God has something to say. All right, my friends. Well, that's pretty much it for this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Ain't freedom great? But freedom has got to be defined by the laws of God. If the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. We have got to define the words. He who defines wins. And that, of course, is what the liberals have done. Liberals have defined freedom as the freedom to steal everybody else's money, the freedom to do whatever you want with pot, the freedom to destroy a baby before it's born, the freedom to. They define freedom the way they want to define it. We define freedom by the laws of God. Thou shalt not murder somebody else, therefore you have the right not to be murdered. Thou shalt not steal, therefore you have the right to keep what you have earned. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You have the right to maintain your own family and not see that family torn apart by some other force. Okay, my friends, the Bible defines our liberties, and we're going to talk about this at the Freedom Conference. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of freedom. If that's a value for you, if you think it's important, by the way, it's important in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 7 says, if you can gain freedom from the unnecessary servitude of men, use it rather. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. There's a value to freedom. Strive for it. It's got a value to it. The Bible itself expresses the importance, the value of freedom. And if the Bible says it's important, then we ought to consider it to be important too. And when freedom is being abridged, well, everywhere, by forces everywhere, Christians need to engage. That's why the National Religious Liberties Conference, coming up November 6th and 7th in the morning. Check it out at freedom2015.org. And I encourage you to grab a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to understand some of the differences between socialism and a biblical outlook. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the